where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. And I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in mine, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. And I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. And I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in mine, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. And I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'll go with you to the end. Where two or three are gathered in mine, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God, precious Jesus, for your promises, Lord God, to be with us every step of the way, my King. We do love you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for your sweet presence here tonight, Lord. Glory, my God, have your perfect way, Jesus. Touch each and every one with that blessing, my God. Lord, and that need, oh God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, my God. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my God.
Praise God. You may be seated. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing number 10. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For lovers of God, everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, my God. I do love you, Lord. Thank you for your sweet spirit, Lord Jesus. The guides are everywhere.
We sing number 72, He's All I Need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, He keeps, He satisfies.
And I just want to thank God for being in this house again. And I guess we just take it for granted sometimes until you have to be away for 3 weeks every 3 weeks. And I just can't thank God enough for all that He's blessed me with. And I am just so thankful that He is a communicating God, and He lets all of His desires be known to us, everything He wants from us. I just love it when He... Sometimes He has to give us a little nudge and maybe remind us over and over again a few times that just how much He has really blessed us and just how much we really have in Him. And I mean, I just cannot imagine not having God in my life. And I just want to praise God for that and for the power that He does give us to the song says, to step out for Him and be that light for Him and do His work for His glory. And I just want to praise God for that and just ask you to just praise God with me. There wouldn't have been a fire on the day of Pentecost
If it wasn't for the fervent prayer of the precious saints of God, if the first few souls of the latter rain had ever cried defeat, then they wouldn't have had that revival power if they felt that Azusa Street. So I'm stepping out, no more doubting, stepping out with faithful striving to be all that I can be. As I'm stepping out in victory shouting, stepping out in the name of Jesus, for I know that any moment he'll be stepping out for me. If Daniel had not set his heart to know and understand, God could not have reached his mind to show his perfect plan. So with the fervent prayer of a righteous man, our faces set like flint, we must fight the fight and make our stand till the saints go marching in. So I'm stepping out, no more doubting, stepping out with the faithful, striving to be all that I can be. Yes, I'm stepping out in victory shouting, stepping out in the name of Jesus, for I know that any moment he'll be stepping out for me. We're heirs to all God's promises through the power of prayer. Only through his Spirit can we know his love and care. He tells us there are mansions being built for his redeemed. God said that I believe it, and that's good enough for me. So I'm stepping out, no more doubting, stepping out with the faithful, striving to be all that I can be. Yes, I'm stepping out in victory shouting, stepping out in the name of Jesus, for I know that any moment he'll be stepping out for me. Yes, I'm stepping out, no more doubting, stepping out with the faithful, striving to be all that I can be. Yes, I'm stepping out in victory shouting, stepping out in the name of Jesus, for I know that any moment he'll be stepping out for me. Yes, I know that any moment he'll be stepping out for me.
Yes, Lord Jesus, mighty God, you said it, and I believe it, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty King, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, sweet Lord. Thank you, my God, for those sweet promises, Lord, for that hope you put in our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Sing number 189, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For my Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why so, for my Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. For my Jesus is
Hallelujah. Mighty God, thank you, Jesus.
And me. Amen. There's something within me that's holding the reins. There's something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain. All I can say is praise the Lord. There's something within. There's something within me that's holding the reins. There's something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain. All I can say is praise the Lord. There's something within. There's something within me that's holding the reins. There's something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain. All I can say is praise the Lord. There's something within. There's something within me that's holding the rain. There's something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain. All I can say is praise the Lord. There's something within. There's something within me that's holding the rain. There's something within me that banishes pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain. All I can say is praise the Lord. Something within.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, mighty God, for that spirit within us, Lord.
Praise God. Will you stand for the word of God? You're already standing, never mind.
You may be seated. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight, both here and online. What a precious, sweet, and refreshing spirit God gives us every time we join together. Amen. Amen. Just a quick reminder here. Those that have signed up for our sewing project, it is this Saturday, January 21st at 11:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Thank you, Sue and Claudette. Another opportunity to join together in fellowship and in love. And how precious and how great is that love that our Lord and our God and our Savior Jesus Christ gives us. Amen. This thought last week came to my mind when Lynn was teaching about that precious love. And I called it, the thought that came to my mind was the trickle-down effect of that love that we receive from Him. And in turn, we share it with others. That love that we get from Him, we give out to others. That love, begats love, and on and on. I looked up a quote this week from Elizabeth Borgeret, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And she said, if you show it, you will feel it. If you give it, you will receive it. This love from God is a two-way street, amen? Between us and Him. And He doesn't just give that to us to just have that relationship with Him. We also have this love that we receive from God is meant to give out, not only to this body of believers that we join together with, family, friends, acquaintances, every opportunity we have in the community to let that light shine, let God's love that He's put in us be seen in us in hopes that maybe that will draw them to the Lord. So let us let this love that He puts in us shine brightly in this very dark an evil world. Show it. I'm going to quote this quote in a different way. Show it. Feel it. Give it. Receive it. That's the way God loves works. Amen. We're in the book of Acts tonight. What a learning, so much to be learned from just a few scriptures, just from one book. I think as we look into it, at least for me, the more I look into it, the more real it becomes, the more alive it becomes. That like you're almost there with them. He gives us a better understanding through what they're going through on how to deal with our own lives and what he's trying to do with us. Amen. We are going to read in chapter 15 tonight, if you'll join me in Acts 15. And we're reading verses 19 through 21. Starting in verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Now the Jews, because of the circumcision and because they had this law of Moses, their train of mind, this is the way I'm thinking of it, is they felt like they were already righteous. They were obeying the law, so they felt like they were righteous. But the law did not make them pure, did it? The law did not give them the power to wash away sin or to overcome sin. It simply rolled their sins ahead to the next year and to the next year. They were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior Jesus Christ. So some of these here, they're looking to the Gentiles and not realizing that through Jesus Christ, through their obedience to the gospel, that they made them part of the family of God. Because just like these believing Jews that received the Holy Spirit, who were baptized in Jesus' name, these Gentiles had done the same thing. God, they had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had turned away from their sin. And they had obeyed that baptism in Jesus' name to wash away their sin. And they had received that same Holy Ghost power inside. And why did they receive it? What was so special about this? It gave them that very same opportunity, even though they weren't the chosen people, to become a child of the King, to become one of the sons of God. Sometimes, until God shines, at least for most of us, I believe, until God shines a light on our unrighteousness, even when we first receive the Holy Spirit, we got a lot of growing to do, amen? We see here that they're just starting with some very basics and some very beginnings here in verse 20. But God, by his grace, he looked past their faults and he saw their needs. He opened the door to his righteousness and they entered in. Here in verse 20, it talks about some of those things that we must turn away from. But first, I want to turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. We're going to start in verse 4. This tells us how our righteousness, our goodness, even if you are the best human being that you can possibly be, trying to obey the laws, be kind to others, we still have the sin upon us. We are still at times going to sin against God. It is only by God's grace and his Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can overcome that unrighteousness and put on his righteousness. Verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. I've read this scripture a lot. Immediately my mind goes, the rapture, the catching away, the new Jerusalem. But there's more to it than that. Where does it begin? Verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Because of our sin, that sin that we were born into, there's a separation between us and God. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. We simply are to give ourselves over to him when we step into that kingdom of God and allow him to mold us and to make us. Verse 9, be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are thy people. And truly, these Jews and Gentiles and us today that have received the gospel, obeyed the gospel, and are following after Jesus Christ, we can say that we are his people. Amen. We see here at this council of leadership, James sees the big picture, that the shunning unrighteousness, putting aside the sins they were in, the fornication, this is back in verse 20, the fornication, the idol worship, the feasts and celebration to the idols, were what these Gentiles needed to start with, cutting away, putting out of their lives. For they have just recently received the gospel. They're very young, babes, toddlers, they have a lot to learn. So we always begin with the very obvious things. And I think we can say that those who have started this walk or have walked with him for a while, he doesn't nitpick at you when you're a baby. He just gives you that broad stroke. This is what you can do right now, today, that you can change in your life immediately. Part of that question last week in 9, requirement of God and how that fits into our lives. I want to turn to a scripture in Colossians. And maybe some of you have looked up some other scriptures that are similar to this one. And if so, please raise your hand. We'll get to question 10. We're just working up to it here. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. So you don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read verse 20 again in Acts 15. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Okay, now over to Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. We see some of those same things listed here. We're beginning some very simple things that we can change immediately if they are in our lives. For which things sake, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are putting off, getting rid of it, the old, natural, sinful ways in exchange for the pure, the holy, the righteous, the just, the lovely, the kind, the gentleness, the goodness of God. It's more than a fair exchange, amen, to get rid of the old, to be able to overcome that sin. Anyone have any other scriptures along this same line? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. There's that word again. The world, I'm sure most of you understand what fornication is. The world accepts this. Do they not? I mean, this is okay. Anything goes. God does not accept that in any way, shape, or form, natural or spiritual. When you commit to God, you commit to God. You don't dabble in sin. In verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Doesn't he tell us this body, when he cleans us up, makes us pure and clean by that baptism, clean as a whistle, puts his Holy Spirit in us, not just his Spirit, Holy Spirit inside us. We then become a temple of the living God. So our every action, our every deed, our every thought needs to reflect that holiness of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. These Gentiles we're speaking of here know God. They've been filled with his Spirit, but they were part of that world just as we were before we came to God. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify. For God, our God, has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We were not given this grace of God to continue in our sin. Amen? This grace of God, this power of God was given to us that we could overcome sin. James is wanting this to be noted as the priority in the lives of these born-again Gentiles. Cut away those. Separate yourself from the world. He tells us that over and over again. New Testament, Old Testament. Even the law that the Pharisees had. That law told them they could not join themselves together with the Gentiles. Why? Because they look different? Because they talk different? No, it was because of sin. We can't join ourselves to sin. They had to change these Gentiles. He's wanting them that message to be clear, even though I'm sure the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, when they were teaching them, spoke this to them. This is reminding them to change from the way they were living and follow after Jesus Christ. And if they will do this, if they will begin that cutting away of those things that are sin, then the Jews that are having a problem with the fact that they were raised in the law to not be joined with the Gentiles will see that God's Spirit in them is bringing them along, filled them with his love, his holiness, changing them. And that really doesn't apply when you have two groups, then they're all filled with the same Spirit. They've all obeyed the gospel. They now can join together in worship and in praise and in fellowship. The Jews didn't need to stay in their synagogue and the Gentiles gather somewhere else. I'm talking about those who are born again. They needed to become one. How precious is that fellowship that we have together? Can you imagine? Okay, this half of the church and that half of the church never get together because we're the called, we're the Jews, and you're the Gentiles. So we, even though we got the same spirit, we can't join together. That's the thinking from the law. That has changed. They are learning. I love this book of Acts because we see slow, consistent growth within the body of Christ. And by that happening, the body of Christ continues to grow even more. Which leads us to question 10. Question 10 is, the Gentiles and the Jews had different experiences in understanding God's will through the scripture. Do we ever stop learning? Do we ever stop learning? Simple question. Cherry? I would imagine everybody can answer this one in one way, shape, or form.
I was just thinking about that because last night we were at the Bible study, and no matter how many times you hear the same word of God, it always is a new, deeper meaning, and I love that. I love that part about the word of God.
Amen. Someone else? No? Okay. I think, you know, we've discussed this before. We as individuals can relate to this because each one of us comes from a different background. Maybe there's multitudes of doctrines and churches and ideas and beliefs and philosophies and just your own ideas of who God is and what God expects of you before you come to the truth, amen? I mean, maybe for some of you, you never really thought about it that much. But I think as human beings, because God has that empty spot in us, I think we all know there is a God even before we find out who God really is. I think we all know there is a God. And so, coming from different backgrounds, cultures, and lifestyles, do we not each one come, even though we come with that different understanding of God's word, do we not each one come with these ideas, and when God reveals them to you, it's like the light turns on in the room for you. You're in darkness. Maybe you've tried to read the scriptures. You don't understand them. And this learning of God's word is line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It is this way here in this book of Acts, as the apostles and the disciples go out to Jew and Gentile. The Jews, even here in this instance, the Jews had the Old Testament, right? In comparing them what they knew from Scripture. They were following the Old Testament. But even with that, there was different groups within the Jewish religion. You had the Sadducees, and they only read and followed the first five books. The first five books. They didn't follow any of the prophecies. Boy, they sure missed out, didn't they? All the prophecies, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, I mean, Obadiah, Nehemiah, David, all the songs of Solomon. I mean, they really missed out by limiting themselves to just a portion of the Bible. We need the whole Word of God, do we not? The Word of God is not a book that can just be read. Because if you just read it, you may pick up a few things here and there, but if you look into it, I'll find myself reading one thing, looking into one thing, go to a scripture, find a portion of that scripture that leads me to another thing to look into and to another thing. And it's like there's always a way to gain more knowledge, more understanding into what I may need today. Sherry mentioned that every day it's new. I can say amen to that because there are scriptures, I've been reading and studying this and being taught this for 43 years. But sometimes something I'm going through today, there is a portion of scripture that comes alive to me that helps me deal with, understand, put my belief, my faith in God that it's going to be okay. Also, the Pharisees, they were laser focused on the law of Moses. But was there only the law of Moses that was followed throughout the Old Testament? How did it begin? You know? Who did it begin with? Actually began with Adam and Eve, right? The day God created Adam, put a living soul in him, which separates us from the animal kingdom. We have a soul in us that lives eternally. Think of Adam. Think of Noah. Think of Abraham. How about Isaac and Jacob? They didn't have the law of Moses, did they? What did they follow? How did they follow? What grounded them in seeking after Jesus Christ? Was it not faith? Was it not trust in God? We hear that a lot recently. Our faith and our trust is where it all begins. Then there's the Gentile world at this time, with all their gods, their beliefs, and their philosophies. But James wants them to understand we had these differences when we weren't following Jesus Christ. But now that we are all following Jesus Christ, now that we have all been adopted into this family, though you're a Jew and I'm a Gentile, now we are brothers and sisters in God. Need not to nitpick at the little details of the law, which never did bring the Jews to the place where they could put it under the blood, wash away their sins, or give them the power to overcome sin. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. And certainly there's someone here that has an answer for me on this question. Another answer. Do we ever stop learning? Just your ideas, your thoughts. Marty, you want to add to that? Thank you.
I think once again, we can look at the natural and understand the spiritual. You start out your natural education, in kindergarten, and you go through all the grades, and you finally graduate in high school, you're going to go into the trades or into higher learning. If you go into the trades, you become apprentice, you're working with a journeyman. You're not left to your own demise. Someone is instructing you and making sure that you're doing well. And then when you become a journeyman, you have a lot more responsibilities and you're supposed to know a lot more. If you're in the professional world, you're an intern, you work with other professionals, and then eventually you end up on your own, but you're also working with peers that can help you and assist you. You learn from your peers, and then you're usually required to have continuing education. So you're always learning until you retire. And I would say it's the same with the spiritual. You're always learning until you retire from this life.
Amen. With all, Marty, you've gone a long way in your... Hang on, Sean. You've gone a long way in where you've come in your particular trade. But do you ever stop learning? Isn't there always more?
There's always new technology. There's always a new problem that you haven't dealt with before. So you're continually learning and you're continually growing. And the moment you think you know it all, you're in trouble.
Especially spiritually.
Yeah.
About the time, and for a lot of us that have been here growing for a long time, there's, at least for me, there was a point, spiritually speaking, that I was, you would call me a teenager, because I knew it all. You don't know what you're talking about, and I got all the right answers if you just listen to me. So you can tell me what you want to tell me, but sorry, I already know it. And actually, I got a better understanding of it than you do. And then once you get past that and become an adult, you realize, and the older you get, the more you realize, I don't know, the more you realize, I need to change. Amen? Rick, thank you.
And just a scripture we're all familiar with, but, you know, the scripture teaches us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved, being a workman, and, you know, learning God's word. I looked at a lot of different scripture, but one in Isaiah I really liked, Isaiah 28:9-11, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And it's spiritually given. If we lean on God and we go to his word and we, you know, our prayer life, our, you know, if we reach out to him, we draw near to him. There's also in 2 Timothy 2:10-11, the other side of it, that if you receive not a love for the truth, you'll have a strong delusion. So it's up to you to reach out to God and let him give you knowledge and understanding. And again, 2 Timothy 2:15, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved.
Very good, Rick. Thank you. That very good point there. Anyone else? Mike, you want to make? Very good point that we have to seek. We have to reach out to him.
Yeah, it's interesting that when you talk about always learning, I can recall being very young and going to church. A pastor would always come from a particular verse, especially around the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And I would say to myself, he just got through talking about that same verse last year. But it would always be a different perspective. And now that I'm older, I understand how different that perspective can be. Like Sister Sherry was saying, how God can, he could tell you to go to the same verse 5 days in a row, and it's going to be a different perspective. And he just gave me this scripture, and I believe Brother just said the same thing. It was 2 Timothy 3:7, and the thing that stood out, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're always learning, but the verse right here says never coming to the knowledge. And then the word that I use to appropriate that is a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to not learn what you think you're going to learn until you get to the other side, until God wants you to know. I think when you keep striving, that is part of the lifetime. You keep learning. Because the moment you become satisfied, as you said a minute ago, you stop trying to learn. My father used to tell me, the moment you quit learning, you might as well die.
Amen. I love learning. Tracy here, Sean. I love learning new things, not just natural things, how to do things. If I learn something new today, it's a good day.
Yes,
I
sir.
Love learning.
Yes, sir.
Just a scripture that I wrote down as Mike was talking that I thought of is in Romans 12:2, one that we all know about renewing and retraining our mind and being transformed in him. And we've talked recently about the fact that that's a constant process from the time that we're filled with his spirit until we're not here anymore. So just the fact that to what we're talking about, that learning process never stops, that renewing our mind, that transforming of our lives, that growing in God is a constant thing. And he shows us and trains us and teaches us in so many ways. And then obviously his word that we're talking about, you can always learn more in his word. And something that I wrote down that I had read in a commentary at one time that I thought was kind of cute and liked is the fact that the word of God is our spiritual GPS, and that's God positioning system, so that we don't make a wrong turn and get lost. So I just kind of liked that. But
amen. Paul, you want to add to this? Thank you.
Yeah, there's just a little quote, I guess, from somebody that I ran across when I was studying this learning process. And it says, the capacity to learn is a gift. The ability to learn is a skill. And the willingness to learn is a choice. So that, it's your choice. And then it goes on and says, you need to develop a passion for learning.
Amen.
And you will never cease to grow that way. An expert was always started out as a novice. And you learn from your mistakes. You go on from there.
Amen. What, Ron? Thank you.
This Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And when Jesus was sending his disciples out, he said, take no thought of what to say, because I'll give you the words. But you have to put those words into your mind. And the one that Rick said about study to show yourself approved. I mean, you're going to be, God's going to put you in situations where you're going to have to spar with your opponent. And you need to have a knowledge of his word so that you can portray back to this person, this is what God's word is really trying to say. And the only way you can do that is by learning. And I like your little thing there that when you're young, you know everything, and you know, I don't need to be taught anything more. But I found, and there's a little saying that I coin and I use sometimes around people, is the more I learn, the less I find I know. Amen. And there's so much knowledge out there, and there's so much that God wants to open up to us and to our understanding. But the only way you can see that is to really look into it and dig a little bit deeper, because like Alice used to say, it's like the peel of the onion. You got to go another layer deeper.
Mike? And then John? Thank you for all your input.
Most of my life I have endeavored to learn as much as I could to prove myself worthy of my vocation. Now that I have the privilege of being retired, I can focus all my time and energy on the Word of God. It is truly a privilege to be able to do that. I am so thankful that I did learn the skills and have the desire to learn, and God is providing me. He has provided and will provide me the opportunity to learn. It's boundless. There is no boundary to how much you can learn in God if you have the willingness and you have the desire to learn. The scripture says he will give it to you, and he will. I really, just moving from the world of work and having to have a vocation or an occupation to being retired, to being able to devote your time and energy to the scriptures and to the work of God is really a very, very special part of life.
Amen. Sean, don't leave. I got a question for him. The question is, Mike, I know you love the fact that now you can focus on the Word of God. But when you were working and you were had to be in the midst of sin and the world, did that not help hone your skill, your perfection if we might say it that way, help perfect you in God's?
Yeah, well, sure.
Doesn't that mean that, in my opinion?
Sure did, because...
You run encounter things, right?
Well, you know, the scripture tells us that our battles are fought in spiritual places, not in flesh and blood. You learn that through the experiences that you learn in life and having to deal with people and having to deal with the world, because those are the battles that we will fight. Amen. And this prophecy, the scripture tells us that as we are raptured up, Satan comes down and there will be a battle. Our battle then will be using the word of God. It is not a physical battle. So when you read about the battle, it's the word of God. So we've always had to use the word of God to be able to fight our own natural, to fight the spiritual things that come against us and the fiery darts of Satan.
Amen.
So that's yes.
Sword of the Spirit, shield of faith.
Yeah, so
we learn to use all that armor.
So as you mature and as you learn these things, that's what builds your strength. And the scripture also tells you that you will enter into God's rest at some point in your walk in God when you've gone through whatever it is that God has set for you to go through, you enter into his rest.
Amen.
And it's kind of like, you know, people think, well, you retire, you go sit in a rocking chair. It's not at all like that. And it's not like that spiritually either. When you enter into God's rest, a lot of the battles that you would have been fighting as a teenager, as a young adult, they're no longer there. You have overcome that and you have moved on.
Amen.
Amen.
John, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to use that saying that Ron said, there's, can peel back the different layers of an onion. It's always a different aspect of looking at something. And there was another scripture I found was in Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good.
Amen. Okay, I'm drawing a blank. Why am I drawing a blank? Janie. I'm not that old. It shouldn't be that hard.
I think one of the biggest things that hampers growth in God or learning about God is pride. And I remember when James first told me about the Holy Ghost, I was like, I know what's right. I know the Bible. I was raised in a church. My dad was a pastor. And I was like, that's just totally wrong. But I was too prideful to even look at it myself until. So I think that if you want to grow and learn in God, you have to be able to make yourself uncomfortable. And if you're not willing to get uncomfortable, you're not going to learn. So.
Amen. We got to be open. Be willing to look at the Word of God and look at ourselves like it's our mirror, no matter how young or old we are in God, and see, is there something, Lord, that I need to change? There's something still within me. Things in this life, things that we come up against, that helps us understand whether we've matured or not. I mean, somebody may do something really evil against you, and it may cause you to be angry. What does the scripture say? It may make you angry, but don't sin. Well, you're going to find out real quick if you've overcome that or not, because if you haven't, your anger is going to take hold of you, and you're going to react. Amen? So, but if you don't, then you, well, okay, I've passed that hurdle. What's the next one? Someone else? Marty? And Paul? Go ahead, Paul. It's right here in front of you.
Just a note that I wrote down. It's nothing's above God. I mean, if you have that hunger and thirst that you want to know more about him, there's no stopping you. I mean, it's just
Amen.
That scripture that's in Matthew 5:6. It says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, He's there to fulfill that thing, and you'll never quit learning.
Amen. And then Marty? Marty, back there. I keep hearing this. It's up to us to seek. It's up to us to be hungry. It's up to us to be thirsty and desiring truth. We have to put in the effort to look and go to prayer and look into His Word. Amen. He's not just going to just give it to you. Marty?
Yeah, there's two scriptures in Proverbs I think of. One of them says that a fool despises instruction. The other one is in Proverbs 12:15. It says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise." And so, you know, we should never feel like we've got it all.
Amen. Be hungry. Be thirsty. Never get tired of seeking God and His wisdom and His knowledge and His understanding. There's so many ways we can learn. We learn from we learn by our experiences. We learn by our mistakes. We learn if we look to the Word of God, and that's our mirror, and we see whether we're right or wrong. We have those natural, but they apply spiritually, seeing, feeling, smelling, hearing, those senses. We can have those spiritually. If we are willing to live this life day by day for God, and we allow Jesus to mold and shape us into His image. We read that scripture. He's the potter. We're the clay. Definitely, I was a lump. There was no form when God called me. I was definitely just a lump. He had a lot of work to do. And it's painful when He's picking away at things and prodding and poking and shaping. It hurts. When I was 14 and ended my 8th grade year, I was 5'3". 3 months later, when I started high school, I was 5'7½". I grew 4.5 inches in 3 months. And believe me, it hurt. My bones were stretching, and I was in a lot of pain. It's like that with God. As you grow, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts. It's a good hurt. I got taller. But there's just so many ways we can work, we can learn. We can get rid of these impurities. If we allow God to get rid of those, as we read in that first scripture, our unrighteousness, our filthy rags, we get rid of that righteousness. The more we do that, the more we're like Christ, the more pleasing we are to God, the more useful we are to God. Because He can't use you. You may be called to be an apostle, to go to some country and evangelize the whole country. But if you don't ever grow and get to that point that He can trust you with that work, you'll never fulfill it. You'll never fulfill it. Allow this year, I know we just had a New Year's, this year, allow God to make the changes in you that you are more like Him, so that He can use you in the gifts and in the callings that He's called you for. There's so many talents, so many gifts. And when we're born of the Spirit, we each one have talents, gifts, and callings. We each one have them. It's up to us to put in the time to be hungry, thirsty, seeking, desiring, if we want to attain all that God has called us to be. We want to be used according to His perfect will, right? Not what we want. For His glory, not our glory. All glory goes to God. Anything that I accomplish that is right, it ain't me. It's God. It's God and only God. We want to be filled with those fruits of the Spirit, so that we can grow in that perfection. Let's see, we were in our last scripture here. 1 John, I think we have time for this. 1 First John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This walk with God, this fellowship that we are able to have with one another, all begins with Jesus Christ. It all starts there. We have to start there. There's no skipping any steps. There's no one else that has ever come. There's no other Messiah. It was Jesus. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, and truly it is a joy to serve the Lord. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There again, cleansing us. What's one of the other words? Sanctification. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Those that we see in the book of Acts, those that we saw in the Gospels, that chose to not follow after Jesus Christ, that felt like, quite often it was the religious leaders that felt like, I'm obeying the law, I'm righteous, I don't need you. I need Jesus Christ. I need his righteousness. I desire and I want his righteousness and not my own. I wrote just something here. Let me just take a minute and read this. Getting back to the fact that we have a lot of young people. When you are yet young and have your whole life ahead of you, it can take time to figure out what you want to do, who you want to be, where your life will lead you is not certain. But what I want you to consider here tonight, first and foremost, is to establish and ground yourself in the Word and in the Spirit of God. If as a young person you learn to put your faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, make Jesus your best friend, your confidant, if you will do this and you will put God first, you will never be alone. You will always have guidance. You will always have his love, his protection, and he will always have your best interests at heart. For that matter, at whatever age you are called and chosen to follow after Jesus Christ, this is when your new life begins. This same thought process will apply if you will trust him, believe him, love him, obey him in his word, and seek and receive and allow that Holy Spirit to guide you. Your life will be blessed. I can guarantee that. In times of need and comfort, you will not be alone. If we'll just keep our feet following after Jesus Christ. I think that falls under this, do we ever stop learning? The day you stop seeking the Lord and the day you stop seeking knowledge and understanding is the day you stop following Jesus. And if you aren't following Jesus, who are you following? So think about that. No matter where, if the center of our life and what is most important to us is Jesus, no matter where our life may lead us, no matter what comes upon us, all will be well. Amen? So, if the musicians will come up tonight, life is so short. We don't want to dilly-dally. We don't want to waste time, miss opportunities to learn more about God each day. Put God's word in your heart. Put God's word in your mind. Put God's word in your soul. Let God's word dwell in you. Be that living temple for God. Let that word, let that grace of God shine through you and in you. Because what a precious gift the grace of God is, amen? Let us not be reckless with that grace. Instead, let us hold this grace of God dear to us each and every day. Thank you for your attention.
Praise God. I was just trying to find out some words that my mind just kind of drew a blank just thinking about all that God has done for us and just sitting through that teaching, not just from up here, but just from what everybody contributed. It's amazing what God teaches us and instills in us. He's so ready and willing to give us everything we need, both physically, mentally, and spiritually that we have need of. And I just praise God for that. I mean, and He knows exactly what we need to take that next step wherever you are in your walk in God, whether it's your first step or your next step along a long journey. I just want to praise God that He's always right there communicating with us and teaching us and giving us everything we have need of. He truly has. It's apparent that He has taught us so much here. And I just praise God. Just invite you to come up and as that scripture that Randy read, enjoy that fellowship with God and join us in that same fellowship in God. Just praise God and praise Him. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, He keeps, He satisfies. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, He keeps, He satisfies.
Is all I need.
be satisfied. Jesus is all I need. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight, and for the setting sun. When my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight, and for the setting sun. When my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight, and for the setting sun. When my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful.